Orfila. The Gemara had discussed that a type of rain called Orfila is Afila Farzida de Tuti Kala Mahanya. So Tos is going to explain what Orfila is. Hainu Geshem Dak. It's very thin rain, and so explaining this is similar to Rashi's explanation of this word. And then Tosis explains the continuation of the Gemara, Afila Farzida de Tuti Kala Mahanya. Pirish meaning Farzida zo garin shu mitachas even, a seed that's under a stone. Hainu meaning kimo chita shemitachas akarka, like wheat or wheat kernel that is under the ground. Tosis starts by describing this under the stone, then he describes it as under the ground, presumably referring to either one. And again, this shot of Tosis is very similar to Rashi, who explains Hagarin Shetachas Gusha Shel Karka, the seed that's under the clump of ground. So, in a word, the whole Aramaic phrase, Arpila Afila Farzida de Tuti Kala, a very thin kind of rain, very light kind of rain, is good to make seeds grow, even if they're under some kind of thick ground. So, although the meaning of Rafila is some kind of very light rain, but the Gemara asks for the etymology of that word, and the Gemara answers, Urufili. What does that mean? Tos explain. Pirish, Me'oron u'matzmichon. That it awakens them, meaning the seeds under the ground, and matzmichan, and causes them to sprout. So uru from the language of awaken. Uru, uru, shir daberi. What is the meaning of pili? Pirish osan ha'omdin besidkir oretz. Those seeds that are lying in the splits in the ground, in the cracks of the ground. Pili meaning cracks. Also comes up in Ilchus Kashrus in terms of meat that falls into milk when we're worried that the milk is going to permeate the meat even if it's cold, if it has pili or cracks. This pshat of Tosis is in accordance with the second pshat that's given by Rashi. That is referring to the seeds that are in the cracks of the ground. As opposed to the first pshat of Rashi, that uru pili, uru from the language of destroy, oru oru adi yasodba, nal naras bovel, meaning that it closes up the cracks of the ground through this light rain. The Gemara records, as Tosis writes in his opening line, Eliezer Shol v'Yiftach, that there were three people who made requests, either of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or of the nation. And in two out of the three cases, Hashem arranged that their request should be fulfilled in a very appropriate manner. And for one of them, unfortunately, the request was fulfilled in a very inappropriate manner. To review, and this will also be a good introduction to the next Tosis, Eliezer had requested that whoever would give him water as well as the camels would be an appropriate wife for his master's son, Avram's son Yitzchak Avinu. And indeed, he got a wonderful shidduch for Yitzchak, a righteous woman, namely Rivka. Even though the Gemara points out that it was an inappropriate request, because maybe she would be a chigeres or a suma, someone limping or blind or some other defect. But nonetheless, Hashem arranged that a very beautiful girl with proper midos was the one who fulfilled that task of giving Eliezer and his camels water. Shaul pointed out whoever would kill Goliath would get his daughter, Merav. And there also, the Gemara points out that it could have been a mamzer or an eved, some with inappropriate yichus, but nonetheless Hashem arranged that David HaMelech, of course, the one who eventually became king, was the one who killed Goliath and was at least supposed to get Merav in theory, although in the end Merav was given over to another man, as the Tanakh records. The third request, though, of Yiftach, where he pledged that if Hashem would give him success in the battle against Ammon, that he would offer as a carbon the first one that would exit from his house. He meant animal that would exit from his house, but he didn't mention the word animal. But of course his daughter came out and she was brought as a carbon. So there Hashem did not answer his request kindly. So Tosis now just ask, why isn't a fourth added to the list who also made a similar kind of deal that whoever would do what he asked to do would get his daughter? And Tomar, Tosis ask, Amai lo choshev Kalev ben Yefuna. How come Kalev ben Yefuna is not listed in this list? Sha'amar, who says in the beginning of Shoftim, Asher Yakas Kiryat Sefer, the one who will smite the city of Kiryat Sefer, which was in the Nachala of Kalev, Ulchadam will capture it, Vinasatilo es Achsa biti liisha, and I will give Achsa, my daughter, to him as a wife. So Amai lo parach, how come the Gemara didn't ask in a similar way? Kamohacha, as it asks concerning Shaul, Yochel Mamzer or Eved, that it could have been a Mamzer or an Eved, some with illegitimate Yichus, and nonetheless, he was answered properly that Asniel ben Knaz, who was a great Talmud Chacham, a great scholar, was the one who did so and married Achsa. So why didn't the Gemara include Kalev ben Yefuna as a fourth who asked improperly but was answered properly? The Tosis answer, Yesh Loma. Tahadik Amar Kalev, Sheyitain Lo. So here the Gersa we have is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Bach changes it because it doesn't seem to make sense in context. Sheyitain Lo Bito, Hachikamar. Meaning, that which it says that Kalev promised that he would give this man who would conquer Kiryat Sefer his daughter, Bito, Hachikamar. This is what it means. Presumably there must have been an abbreviation, Hey Kuf, Hachikamar, and the copyist miscopied it as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hachikamar, this is what it means. Kol Misha Yachal Lachzar Osan Alochos, Sheshachachu, we may Evlo Shel Moshe, Etain Lo Achsa Biti. The Gemara in Temura, which here in the margin, there Mitzayin, in Temura Dafta Zayin Amid Aleph, that in addition to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, that Kalev was asking whoever would conquer the city Kiryat Sefer, but because it has the name Sefer, very curious name for a Canaanite town, so it was referring to various halachos that were forgotten in the days of the mourning of Moshe Rabbeinu. Osan halachos sheshachachu b'mei evlo shel Moshe etin lo achsa biti. So then he will give Achsa as his daughter. So because of that interpretation, Tosfos is a little cryptic of how that answers the question. So presumably that means that someone who would be capable of restoring those halachos presumably would not be a mamzer and eved, but rather someone with good yichus who was a great Talmud Chacham, even though Chazal tell us mamzer Talmud Chacham gadol mi kohen gadol ha'aretz, you could have a mamzer who's also a Talmud Chacham, but very, very unlikely that would be the case, and therefore he was confident that he would get a proper person who would restore those halachos and also fibshuto to conquer the city. Rashi here, who also gives this answer as to why Kalev is not listed, explains that the one who would restore those halachos certainly would be informed by Ruach HaKodesh. Ve'in ha'shchina shora, ela al bal yichus, among other qualities, that you have to have some kind of divine inspiration, and the divine presence would not rest on someone who doesn't have proper yichus. The Marasho here in the Chiddush HaGadol suggests that that's what Tosfos means. It's interesting that Maratz Chayas on the Rashi points out that it was the days of Evlo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu when they couldn't restore the halachos through Nevuah, because that was only in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that halachos were given by Nevuah. After that, it's Lo B'Shamayim, and he had to restore it from the power of Pilpula Shel Torah. Perhaps we could distinguish between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh meaning the divine inspiration to properly arrive at those halachos, not actual direct Nevuah, which only Moshe Rabbeinu was zochah to in terms of revealing halachos. V'yesh Mefarshim, now Tosfos quotes another interpretation. The Lechach Nikreis Achsa, Shekol HaRoe Osa Koeis Al Ishto. Language of Achsa, if you rearrange the letters, spells out Kas. Then anyone who would see her would get angry at his wife. So Rashi Masechta Temura, as referred to on the margin, indicates that it's because she was so beautiful. So anyone who would see her would get angry at his wife that she's not as beautiful. But Tosfos gives a different interpretation. Shekol HaRoe Osa Koeis Al Ishto. Because of the enormous modesty that they saw in her. So the other husbands would be upset at their wives that they didn't have those stellar qualities. So based on that, now Tosfos proceed to give an answer for how Kalev was so confident that he would get an appropriate chassan who would fulfill this condition of conquering Kiryat Sefer. And Kalev was relying on the fact, this chusa, the merit of this great tzedekes achsa, with the stellar midos at tznius, presumably other midos as well, was chusti day in his own merit, of course, Kalev ben Yefuna, one of the only spies who didn't speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, mistayeya, would assist the lo mizdavgen law that no one would serve as her suitor, ela kefi masel, in accordance with her actions. Kedeisa b'sota, as it says in Masechta Sota, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Dein Mizavgin v'chulei, meaning Ein Mizavgin l'la Adam elefi masav. The Gemara points out that the Ziva Grishon, the first shidduch, which is interpreted in different ways, simply speaking, it means the first marriage. So that's the famous baskol that calls out 40 days before the Vlad is notzar, before it's created, which probably means the time of conception, which is 40 days before the formation of the embryo when you have a beating heart, which occurs around day 40. So that is a baskol predetermined. But the Zivik Sheni, the second match, which presumably means either after divorce or death of the first spouse, so that's Eimazavgnal Adam Elefimasov, in accordance with his actions. So Tosis clearly here is assuming that that's true not only for the male but also for the female, not only for the husband but also for the wife. And that since Achsel was such a great tzedekes, Kalev had a confidence that indeed Hashem would arrange that her match, which Kalev had declared would be the one who would conquer the city of Kiryat Sefer, would be very appropriate for her and would be someone with good yichus and chas v'shalom not a mamzer or an eved. L'chora, the Tosis needs a little more analysis because the part of that Gemara and Sota he's quoting is going on Zivik Sheni. And one would have to analyze whether this shirach between Achsa and Asneel was a Zivik Sheni or a Zivik Rishon. And if it was a Zivik Rishon, so why is Tosis bringing up the concept of Lefim Asav here, the Tzorachim? Just as an additional comment, Rashi, as well as Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the margin of this Tosis, note that in the Medrash Haggadah, both in Parshas Chayisara and in Parshas Bechukosai, actually have the list expanded to four people, and those Midrashim actually include Kalev as one who asked improperly, because had Hashem not answered improperly, he could have wound up with a Mamzer or an Eved. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yonasan, who didn't include Kalev in the list, obviously had a different kind of logic. Rashi goes with the first shot of Tosis. So presumably Tosis, who gives his own two interpretations, the first one agreeing with Rashi and the second one an additional one, is also going with that approach that even though the Midrashim include Kalev, but Tos is trying to explain why Rabbi Yonasan here did not. To recall, this was the Gemara's objection to Eliezer's stipulation that whoever would pour the water for Eliezer and the camels would become the wife of Yitzchak, but maybe it would be someone with a mum. So Tosis just asks, in contrasting the Gemara's point that Eliezer's request was inappropriate with the Gemara's point that Shaul's request is inappropriate. When it comes to Eliezer, it speaks about physical defects. When it comes to Shaul, it speaks about yichus or stature defects. Tema, amaylon okarocha gab Eliezer evad Avram, kemo dekom agabe Shaul besamuch. How come concerning Eliezer, the slave, the servant of Avram, didn't it say, as it did concerning Shaul, nearby, yochol afilam amzeres of shivcha? Why didn't it focus on the yichus defects of Mamzeres or Shivcha? Of course, here Tos says Mamzeres or Shivcha. Mamzeres, female Mamzer. Or Shivcha, female servant, as opposed to what the Gemara said about Shaul, Mamzer or Eved, because there with Shaul, he was referring to a match who would be the husband. And here Eliezer was referring to a match who would be the wife. Vichule, etc. So Tos is wondering, how come the Gemara didn't focus on Yichus defects with respect to Eliezer as it did concerning Shaul? Vama Rashi, again, we don't have this on our page, in the Rashi here, another proof that Tosis didn't have the pseudo-Rashi on our page, and it's not really Rashi. Maybe it's Rashi in another Masech that quotes this, I didn't get a chance to look it up. Vama Rashi, Mishem de Gav Eliezer, Lo Shayach, Adayin, Mamzeres. The Halon Nitna Torah. Torah wasn't given yet, so the whole idea of Yichus and the Bnei Noach would be no such thing as a Mamzer. And that's why they didn't give that example. I guess they still could have been a problem concerning an Eved, which did exist before Matan Torah, since the curse of Noach, the Torah doesn't focus on that. Perhaps the answer is that before Matan Torah, just as an illegitimate child wouldn't be labeled as a Mamzer and therefore wouldn't be prohibited in a marriage, the same thing would be true concerning an Eved, wouldn't be prohibited in a marriage. Inami, alternatively, the Gabi Isha, Leidiak Alma Leofi. Concerning a woman, the primary criteria that people are looking for is not so much Yichus, but beauty. So that's why the Gemara here focuses on physical defects, rather than concerning a man, where they would more focus on Yichus, rather than handsomeness, and therefore concerning the candidate that would kill Goliath, concerning Shaul and David ultimately matching the bill, there it spoke about Yichus ideas rather than physical defects. And Tomar tells now has an additional kasha. Hecha kamar de Shaul Eliezer shloka hugan. How could they say Eliezer asked him properly? There was a way of checking. Well, Omer, there's a quote from the Torah, Asher Omer Elea hatina kadech, the one to whom he will say, tilt your jug to give me water, as well as my camels. If he sees that the one who said yes to that would be someone who limps or someone who's blind, lo yomerlo, he's not going to say, okay, here's the jewelry and you're the one that Hashem has arranged to be the wife of my master's son. So there's a test. Unlike with Shaul and Yiftach, Shaul, the one who's going to kill Goliath, so he's the one who's supposed to be the husband and he might be legitimate. With Yiftach, the one that comes out of the house to greet Yiftach will be the carbon and it might be his own daughter. Here with Eliezer, it was a way of screening it. that the one who would pour the water, if he would see that the one who would say yes would be someone who has some kind of defect, so he wouldn't go to the next step. He'd just say, thank you very much, take the water and run. Rasha points out that even though presumably the same tests apply to the case of Shaul and David, where if he sees that the one who kills Goliath is a mamzer and eved, so he just wouldn't agree to the shidduch. So he explains, but that wouldn't be pretty, because then he wouldn't be fulfilling his word. But with Eliezer, it's not like he promised the girl anything. He just made an internal sign to himself. And if he felt that the girl doesn't match the criterion, so he would not make the shidduch with Yitzchak. Yishlomar does answer. The Hachik Purusho. This is what Agamar means by that. Yachal afilu chigeres afilu suma. Yachal afilu chigeres sheyi ala afilu regel shaleitz. Someone who's limping, some kind of imbalance in the legs, or maybe missing a leg. She might have a peg leg. A substitute leg, a prosthetic device, and being under her clothing, and he won't see it. And he'll say that you're the one who Hashem has designed for my master's son, and then it'll be very sticky to back out of that. Similarly, concerning Osuma, Osuma, kigon sheyesh lei naim yofim, that she has beautiful eyes, probably should be naim yofos, so ayin is feminine. Ve'ena roa kalal, but she doesn't see. A lot of blind people, unfortunately, their eyes are either partially closed or are somewhat affected, so then he would be able to screen it. But there are blind people who look as if they see, and Eliezer won't notice that they don't see, and therefore will award her the right of marrying his master's son, and then he's going to realize later she's blind, and then it will be sticky to back out of it. So hence, that is Shaloka Hogan, because he might not be able to tell that they have a mum. Rashi summarized this in just one line, "Efshah shetia balas mum." And he won't understand that, meaning he won't perceive that, again, same with Tosis, that it won't be noticeable. This is Rashi Divim Maskil, I feel Chigeres, I feel Summa. Tais Divim Maskil, Vahainu, the Kamalu, Navi, Li, Sir, Latsari, and Begalod, Imrofe, Ain Shum. Gemara quotes a Paskin Yermia, which Lafi Pshuto was talking about the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Golos. In the time of the Bayis Rishon, but the Gemara as an additional layer of interpretation, because Yiftach was from Gilad, Yiftach HaGiladi, so Hatzari Ein Begilad, Imrofe Ein Sham, is there no bomb in Gilad, is there no doctor there? A reference to this tragedy of Yiftach bringing his own daughter as a korban, which was not Hashem's will. So Tosis explains how that ties in. Kilomar, meaning Lahater Nidro LeYiftach, that this bomb or this rofe, the way to fix the problem would be to be Mater Neder, to release the vow of Yiftach, and then he wouldn't have to bring his daughter as a korban. And who would be the rofe here? Vahava Pinchas, that Pinchas was the Kohen Gadol, great Talmud Chacham, presumably Rosh Sanhedrin, and he will be able certainly to be Mater the Neder. Vamailo Halach Yiftach Etzlo Lahatir Nidro. How come Yiftach? The Gemara is darshaning. Yirmei Anavi is wondering, how come Yiftach didn't go to him to get that balm, to get that healing, Lahatir Nidro, that Pinchas will be the doctor to eliminate his problem. And now Tosis is quoting, as they point out on the margin, both on Rashi and on Tosis, various Midrashim that describe the situation in this way. Why didn't Yiftach go to Pinchas to be Matir Neder? Ella, mitoch gasis rucho, because Yiftach had a certain degree of haughtiness. Omar, lo eilech etzlo, I will not go to Pinchas, the chief rabbi. Shani shofet v'nogid, I'm the political lay leader of Klal Yisrael. Ela yavo etzli, you should come to me. Pinchas Omar, leisi gaboy. And Pinchas, rather than going to him, said, let him come to me. They are not Navi, because I'm a prophet. Val yodi Tehei Petura, through me, she could be exempt from being a korban. Shayisi Shore Umater Aneder, or according to the Bach, Shayisi More Umater Aneder, that I would rule and release the vow, Upoterosa, and she would be exempt from being brought as a korban. So Pinchas said, I'm the prophet, I'm on a higher level. And Yiftach, who Chazal say wasn't so scholarly, so he should be the one to come to Pinchas. And in the end, the Lebesov, Nenshushneim, they were both punished, because neither one came to the other, and the neder stood, and Nebuch, the daughter of Yiftach, was brought as a korban. What was the punishment for both of them? Yiftach nenash and naflu evorov. Yiftach was punished that his limbs fell off. Kodem misa, before death, presumably some kind of gangrene. What's the proof to that? Kedichsiv, that when Yiftach passed away, it says, Vayikaver be'arei Gilad. He was buried in the cities of Gilad, the Fipshuto, in that region that was called the cities of Gilad. But Lefi Midrasho, he was buried literally in the cities of Gilead, because his limbs unfortunately started falling off one by one during his lifetime, and each limb was buried. Okay, this could be an important proof to the Shaila about whether a limb that falls off during lifetime, to what extent does it have a chiyuv kvura? Certainly that was the custom, but that a formal chiyuv is one of the proofs to that. Ufinchas nein Hashem, Pinchas was punished, t'chsiv, lefnim hoya Hashem imo, that the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim speaks about that Hashem was with Pinchas, implying that he was no longer with him. So based on this lapse, Pinchas, either temporarily or permanently, lost the ability to have the Shekhinah rest on him. Especially if you go with the approach to Pinchas Eliyahu, so presumably eventually it was restored. But at least temporarily, the Shekhinah was no longer with him.